Bible reading today is tonight is from Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 26. And it's on page 1178 in the church Bibles. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am here, that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The most important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Thanks, Irene. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray that you'll give us open ears, open hearts, and open minds to hear what you have to say to us as we explore this passage from Philippians together. Amen. I do love this book of Philippians. It's one of my favourites. I think it's a favourite to quite a few of us. There's so much packed into these four short chapters. But what I love is it just reads like a letter, a personal piece of correspondence, as real and tangible it could have been written to us today. This passage is a bit of Paul's testimony. It refers back to his past, what's happening now, and his hope for the future. And it also reveals his so what attitude to what's happening to him and around him. He uses his own story to encourage readers of his letter and those at the time, and us today. And so this evening, as well as looking at those so what moments, we're going to look at three of these areas. Do you advance the gospel, no matter what happens in your life? What are your motives for what you do and pursue in your life? And are you striving to engage in fruitful labour for Jesus? I love the fact that this letter is clearly written to people who knew Paul. He doesn't need to explain the detail of what he's referring to. Verse 12 starts, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has really served the gospel. We don't get told what happened here, but we can find out about that in the book of Acts. He doesn't need to specify to those original readers at the time, because they knew him and were fully aware of the circumstances and situation that he was in. But for those of us who may be less familiar, let's just take a moment to see the context for the letter. So Paul was writing from being imprisoned under house arrest, but that wasn't the only thing that had happened to him. Imprisonment was bad enough, but during Paul's life, he had been arrested. almost killed by an angry mob in Jerusalem, barely survived a plot against his life. He was further unjustly imprisoned because he was not willing to pay a bribe. And on the way back to Jerusalem, Paul sailed to 15 different ports where he preached a few times. There's one particular story which you can read about in Acts 12 that just makes me smile, when he stopped at the city called Troas. And whilst Paul was speaking, a young man fell asleep and fell out of the third story window and died. Quite shocking, I'm sure you agree. But God enabled Paul to bring the boy back to life. And then they all went upstairs and carried on talking and having dinner. And I just think that's such an incredible picture, that this young man brought back to life and they just carry on having dinner as if nothing had happened. Paul was then shipped off to Rome after he demanded that he had his imprisonment appeal heard by the Roman emperor. En route, Paul not only experienced a horrific storm at sea, resulting in suffering great hunger and a shipwreck, but he was also bitten by a poisonous snake. So here we find Paul writing to the Philippians after all that had happened, whilst imprisoned by the palace guards. So I think you'll agree that Paul had more than enough to complain about. But does he? In spite of all of this, in spite of being arrested and imprisoned unfairly, Paul didn't waste time moaning about it. He used the time to advance the gospel, to preach the good news. For Paul, it's a case of, so what? So what that I have suffered and here I am in prison? This is a great opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Through his hardships, Paul preached about Jesus to all who were around him, the whole guard and everyone else. Paul didn't use this time just to sit and wallow. He saw it as a God-given opportunity to share his faith and to advance the gospel. But it's also exciting to see the impact Paul had, even from this place of imprisonment. He was an encouragement to others. I've never noticed it before, but if you have a look at verse 14, it says, "And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." Christians around Paul who maybe knew him or had at least heard what he was doing were inspired by him. They became more confident in, as the Message translation puts it, speaking out fiercely about God, about the Messiah. Paul's troubles were encouraging to others to speak out. Perhaps he shared his story and told people how God had brought him safely through all his troubles. Whatever he said, it worked to encourage others to spread the good news and to proclaim the gospel to those around them. You'd have thought that the trouble Paul was in would put people off, but there was something in what Paul said that gave those early Christians the confidence to speak out themselves and seek to advance the gospel, even though Paul had been imprisoned for that very reason. I don't know about you, but I find someone's personal testimony or story so helpful and encouraging. Not just their story of how they became a Christian, but that everyday, how God is working in my life now testimony. A simple event or experience that people can relate to and be encouraged by. Something to enable us to reflect on how God is working in our own lives today. Home groups are a great place to enable us to share such experiences. I know I'm always encouraged to hear how God is working in someone's life, to hear about an answer to prayer for something we've been praying about for a number of weeks. There's such an encouraging and wonderful reminder of God's never-ending presence and care for us. And hearing from others should encourage us to share our faith too with each other, but even more importantly, with those who don't know Jesus. The first challenge in this passage is for us to ask ourselves the question, is whatever happening in our lives and in the lives of other faithful brothers and sisters being used to proclaim Jesus or not? It's a challenge, isn't it? For someone, speaking about Jesus, making Jesus known, is easy and comes very naturally. If you're like me, it's not something I find easy. Yes, I do find it easy to talk about my faith and about coming to church, even what I'm preaching about. But I find it really hard to turn that into a gospel conversation. But what I see here is that it's not something I should be discouraged from doing. Paul makes it very clear that we should do all we can to advance the gospel, regardless of how people respond or what happens to us as a result. But it's also interesting what Paul goes on to say next in verses 15 to 17. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. That's our second challenge. Do we proclaim Jesus with our lives, or do we fall into a trap that can sometimes be very subtle of proclaiming Jesus for less than pure reasons? As we read these verses, it's the what are your motives for what you do and pursue in your life? Paul is saying that there are two types of people, those who are doing it for pure motives out of goodwill and love, who recognise why Paul had been imprisoned, but knew that could not stop them speaking out. And the other group who were proclaiming the truth of Jesus, albeit with accuracy, but they were doing it for their own gain or to make themselves more important than Paul. But interestingly, Paul doesn't condemn this second group, who are clearly using his imprisonment for selfish ambition and gain and to try and cause trouble for him. Paul responds with another so what comment. So what does it matter that they're trying to cause trouble for him? Whilst their motives may be less than pure, their message is not. They are proclaiming the gospel, and that's what's important to Paul. And we know Paul has no qualms when it comes to attacking false preachers. If you look at the start of Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, gosh, what a different start to a letter to this one to the Philippians. We can see Paul turn on those who preach a false gospel. And he says, may they be under God's curse. But here, Paul does no such thing. He only clarifies that their true proclamation is for their own gain and to attack him. But you can almost hear him saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. In fact, Paul is more than fine with these insults. He is rejoicing in them because within them, Jesus is being proclaimed. That's the challenge for us. What motivates us to proclaim the gospel? Is it to try and look better than someone else, to put them down with our superior biblical knowledge? Do we proclaim Jesus with accuracy but then live a different life, not living as the Bible asks us to, putting down people that we work with, gossiping behind their backs, holding on to material things? Or do we proclaim the gospel with accuracy to encourage and build each other up, which is what we should be doing? I love it when someone shares a Bible verse with me, particularly if life is hard. It's such an encouragement when in that dark place I'm reminded of God's presence and certain hope I have in him. But what I do love about these verses is just how God uses these people. Yes, even though we may not act with the best of intentions, God can still use that to his glory. And that's what Paul is rejoicing in. That despite people's intentions, God wins through. The challenge for us is to examine our hearts and think about what our motives are for proclaiming the gospel. And if we're doing it for the right reasons, that in turn should encourage us into our third point, in striving to engage in fruitful labour for Jesus. Paul rejoices that in his life he has found all meaning in Christ. We only have to reflect back on Paul's life before his conversion, when he persecuted Christians, to see what a difference Christ has made. Paul knows that in spite of all of his hardship, Christ is with him. But equally, he knows that when he dies, he will be complete in Christ. There will be no more hardship or suffering. And he's clearly torn between the two. As the Message translation puts it, alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his prize. Life versus even more life, I can't lose. It's another so what moment for Paul. So what if he lives or dies? Christ will be exalted, whatever happens. As Christians, we know that our life is a temporary one. When we die, all hardship and uncertainties will end. We go to be with Christ forever. I think C.S. Lewis sums it up well in the Narnia book, The Final Battle, which reads, Aslan turned to them and said, "You do not look so happy as I mean you to be." Lucy said, "We're so afraid of being sent away, Aslan. You have sent us back to our own world so often." "No fear of that," said Aslan. "Have you not guessed?" Their hearts leapt and a wild hope rose within them. "There was a railway accident," said Aslan softly. "Your father and your mother and all of you are, as you used to call it in the Shadowlands, dead. The term is over. The holidays have begun. The dream has ended. This is the morning." And as he spoke, he no longer looked to them like a lion. But the things that began to happen after that were so great and so beautiful that I cannot write them. And for us, this is the end of all the stories. And we can most truly say that they all lived happily ever after. But for them, it was only the beginning of the real story. It's easy to see why Paul would prefer to die now and be with Christ, particularly as he has suffered so much over his recent past. But he recognises that whilst this would be the easy option for him personally, it wouldn't help those in the Philippian church going forward. Paul wants these early Christians to continue to grow in their faith and keep spreading the good news. His concern is not for himself, but for God's glory and the Philippians' joy in faith. Paul can see how God may want to use him in the immediate future. It may be hard work, but he knows that when he dies, he will be with Christ. It's a bit like when you're going on holiday and you can't wait to get there, but there's things you've got to do, like find your passport, do your packing, or all of that before you can go. Paul knows what awaits him when he dies, but equally he knows there are things to do in his life here, proclaiming the good news and supporting others. Paul's entire life is encapsulated in verse 22 when he says, "If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me." He knows that he will never stop serving God nor supporting and encouraging his fellow Christians. And that's the challenge for us. For our lives to be more focused on fruitful labour, sharing the gospel, living lives that bring God glory, and to show those around us what it means to be a Christian. But what struck me for the first time when writing this sermon is Paul says, if I am to go on living in the body, not this body or my body, but the body. It made me wonder if he's also talking about being in the body of Christ, serving each other, carrying out fruitful labour within the Christian family, reminding us that whilst we are all called to advance the gospel, we're also called to use the gifts God has given us to serve each other here in St. Pat's. Something to think about, isn't it? Paul's greatest desire is to serve God and proclaim the gospel. This is what he does throughout his life. Imprisonment, beatings, or storms at sea cannot stop him. Indeed, they seem to strengthen him even more. He knows that throughout his life, he will be able to continue spreading the good news and building up new churches. A fruitful labour indeed. For Paul, to live is to serve God. He longs to be with the Lord, and he knows that will be the case in both life and death. The personal gain of dying is outweighed by the way he can serve God and proclaim the gospel whilst he is alive. Being in prison and others speaking out of jealousy mean nothing but a perfect opportunity for Paul to proclaim the good news. Paul is a living testimony of that first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Paul shows us that to be fruitful in our labours of life, we need to work at it. We don't know what God has in store. We should never give up. And whilst Paul makes it clear that if he could choose, he would go to be with Jesus in heaven, he knows that it was more necessary for him to remain living. In verses 24 and 25, it says, "But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith." Paul knew that he had more work to do for God, more fruitful labour with the Christians in Philippi who needed his support and encouragement. So fruitful labour is living our lives in a way that helps others make progress and grow in the joy of faith in Jesus. And that's the challenge for us today. Do we live our whole lives proclaiming the good news about Jesus? Do we undertake fruitful labour in all we do, helping others to know Jesus or to grow in their faith? Do others recognise that we are Christians in the way we speak and act? Do we rejoice in God even in the hard times? Do we encourage one another in what we say and do? It's quite a challenge, isn't it? And I can assure you that I can answer no, not all the time, to all of those questions. I think this passage is not just a challenge to us, it is a real encouragement. Oh, to be just a smidge like Paul, to be so enraptured by Jesus that our only desire is to serve him in every way we can and proclaim the good news to those around us, to advance the gospel, not just in the easy, happy times, but in the dark, difficult days too, when we know it's the right thing to do and we want others to know Jesus just as we do. Perhaps we can adopt some of Paul's "so what" attitude, that regardless of what happens to us personally, we know God will be glorified. Maybe it's time to reevaluate our lives and see if Christ is at the centre of it. For to live is Christ, and live we must do. Because living as Christians means we are called to advance the gospel. We have a responsibility to continue spreading the good news. And we need to think about that and what motivates us to do it. Paul uses his testimony to encourage and challenge. His testimony is not just words. It's the way he lived his life. He never let anything get in his way from proclaiming Christ. Not even when bound in chains for that very reason. How can we strive to engage in the fruitful labour of making Jesus known to others? Now, we aren't in the same position as Paul, thankfully, but in some ways, does that make it harder? Here we are in Wallington in our comfortable lives compared to many in other parts of the world, and certainly compared to what Paul went through. Does that make it harder to serve Christ and see him glorified in all we say and do? It's about changing our hearts and minds to look for and see God in every situation and to rejoice in that. It's about taking time to stop in the busyness of the day and give thanks to God for what he has done. It's about taking opportunities to talk about our faith when we can, and not to shy away from advancing the gospel. And if you haven't done it before, maybe when asked, "What did you do this weekend when you go to work or school tomorrow?" you can say, "I went to church." It might lead to an interesting discussion. Share those stories of God working in your life today with other Christians so we can build each other up. We all have those stories to share of how God continues to work in our daily lives. And in doing so, we are glorifying him. Even if we do it somewhat reluctantly, just look back to the beginning of this passage to be reminded how God used those with impure motives. We don't have to be perfect to do this. What Paul is teaching us through this passage is whatever happens in life, God is with us, and we should rejoice in that. But even more so, whatever happens in life, we should use it in fruitful labour to serve Christ. Yes, we gain so much when we die, But we have so much to do until then in proclaiming the good news. Alive, I am Christ's messenger. Dead, I am his prize. Life versus even more life. Let's go out and live it in fruitful labour with love to advance the gospel. Amen.